All right. Good morning, everybody. James, could you turn up the second one slightly? One, two, three, four. Second one from the wall. Thank you. Great. Yeah, that sounds better. Thank you. Doing that Moses bit? Speaking from the tablet. Last week, when I was chairing, we had an open time at the beginning during the worship. And the first one to contribute was Kath Joseph, who's not there. But she was there last week. And she said, God was speaking to her about authority. Now, during August, we've got three topics for speakers. We're not doing a series. And I was looking at two topics. I was looking at spiritual realities that are going on in the world right now. And I was also looking at authority, the subject of authority. And I felt God said, do authority. So that's what I'm doing today. I'm going to speak about authority. Now, here's a little quiz question for you. It's a bit higher than Trivial Pursuit, this. It's possibly University Challenge standard. Anybody ever answer any questions on University Challenge? I want you to tell me, if you can, what piece of literature this quote comes from. Okay? Put your hand up if you know. Of man's first disobedience and the fruit of that forbidden tree, whose mortal taste brought death into the world and all our woe, with loss of Eden, till one greater man restore us and regain the blissful seat. Any ideas? Any guesses? Who was that? Paradise Lost. Well done, Pauline. Paradise Lost by Milton. Not Ray. It was written in the 1600s, so I don't think Ray would lay claim to that. Authority of the believer. You and I have authority as believers, but we don't often use it. We have authority over certain things. And most of us know it, but we don't actually use it. Things come our way in life, attacks, very often, enemy attacks, and we have authority over them. We could say, I don't want that, no, go away, in the name of Jesus. But most Christians, although they're aware of it, they don't actually use that authority. So I want to look at that. How did we get this authority? Why don't we use it? Why is there so much bother in the world at the moment? Well, let's start in Genesis. Because in Genesis, chapter 1, God creates mankind. And he gives him dominion over everything. Gives him authority over everything. Everything he's created, I'm giving you dominion over it, God said. I've made it. Everything here, I'm giving you dominion over it. Let's have a look. Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So there's authority given to man. It's amazing, really, that God would do that. That he would trust creation to us. That he would set up a perfect world, and then at the pinnacle of his creation, make man in his own image. Didn't make animals in his own image. Man is not just a better animal. Man is not just a supreme animal with more intelligence than the rest of the animal kingdom. He's made in God's image. He's completely different. Unique. Let's not hear any of this twaddle that some of these so-called professors tell us, that humans are just intelligent animals. They're made in the image of God. We can create like God. We can think. We can worship. We can sing. So can birds, of course. We can choose. We can make decisions. We can govern. We can have authority. God gave us authority. You'll see how amazing it is later on that God gave us authority. I mean, looking at mankind, would you trust mankind with authority? Would you trust mankind to run the planet? Not doing great, are we? I mean, we're doing quite well in some areas. I mean, thank God for science and some of its creations. Discoveries, not creations. I mean, thank God for anaesthetic, you know. And for dentists who don't hurt you as much as they used to. Thank God for lots of inventions. Flush toilets. I mean, thank them. Sanitary systems. Nice food. Clean water. I mean, there's man using his dominion of the earth well. Using some of the things God's created and using them well. But we also know he uses them badly. So God gave the dominion of the earth to humans forever. When he gave it to them, it was forever. He releases his power in the earthly realm in response to human beings living in agreement with him. You know, when he gave authority to mankind, it was as long as mankind was under his leadership. As long as we are under his leadership, we can exercise the authority. And in the garden, of course, everything was great, wasn't it? Everything was perfect. It was under his leadership. He came and walked and talked with them during the day. You had fellowship with him. You had beautiful things. There were no weeds. There was no thorns on your rose bushes. Everything was perfect. Fruit. No salmonella. Everything was perfect. No pain. So God gave governing authority to Adam. And he said, you can use it however you want, Adam. You can do whatever you want with it. And that's always been God's plan, that God will work with humans as long as they're under his leadership. That's still his plan today. He wants to work with humans who are under his leadership, who submit to him. It will be the plan in the future. When Jesus returns and sets up the new heaven and the new earth, we will work with him under his leadership. It will be great. It still is when you work under God's leadership. Still great now. It was great in the Garden of Eden before the fall. So in Genesis, he says, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it, over every living thing on the earth. It's amazing. It says in Psalm 115, the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Wow. Psalm 115, that is verse 16. God's domain, the heavens, but he's given the earth to the children of men. I know what you're thinking. What about the devil? Well, we'll come to him in a minute. Stinker. Anybody say amen? Stinker? Devil? Some churches get more excited about you saying something nasty about the devil than you do saying something good about God. Devil's nasty. God's great.
Amen.
There you go. So, what did Adam do? He threw away the dominion. He committed high treason against God. And he gave authority to Satan. When he did that. That's what we read out there, beginning Paradise Lost, of man's first disobedience and the fruit of that forbidden tree, whose mortal taste brought death into the world and all our woe, with loss of Eden. Till one greater man restores and regains the blissful seat. The fall, we call it the fall, Genesis 3. Adam falls. Mankind falls with him. So this is what happens later on. If you turn into the New Testament to Luke chapter 4, Satan comes to tempt Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verses 5. No, before that. Verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, guess what? He was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." You know, the devil, every time he speaks about God, he says, "If." If God said that, why don't you do this? If you're the Son of God, why don't you do this? If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And see what the devil's doing there? He's reducing creation to physical things. He's trying to say there's no spirit. There's no spiritual things. There's only what you see. We know, if we've been well taught, if we've listened to sermons in this church, but there's more than what you see. And what you don't see is more important than what you do see. There's a kingdom going on right now in this room. There are heavenly beings in this room right now. They're whispering things. And they're listening. Maybe the bad ones all went during the worship. Hallelujah. Maybe there's only good ones in here now. I think he goes when we worship. I think he clears off. I didn't really don't like it. Praise God. God, there's only one God. Jesus, you are the only one. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it. I'm off. I'm not listening to this. So, heavenly beings in this room, good ones, they're here right now. So, here's the devil saying, "I'm hungry. If you're hungry, tell these stones to become bread. Turn them into bread." Jesus says, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." In other words, it's not as important what I eat as how I live spiritually, my relationship with God. Feeding on God's word is more important to me than food. Then the devil leads him up to a high place, shows him an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and he says to him, now listen to this, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to." That's the devil saying, "I now have authority. It's been given to me." Who gave it to him? It wasn't God. Jesus said, "The devil's the prince of this world." Who made him the prince of the world? Man did. Sometimes you think, why did you make him the prince of this world, God? He didn't. Man did. Man gave him authority. He gave it over to him. Wow, did man have that much power that he could give authority to the devil? Yeah. God trusted him with that much authority and he gave it to the devil. And now we've got what we've got. A world in a mess. A world of things going wrong day after day after day. All the time. An enemy who attacks you on a regular basis. Now, you are different from people who don't believe in God. Because you are under God's leadership. And you could exercise the authority that was given to Adam. Because, here's the great news. Done the bad news, the fall. Here's the great news. There's a second Adam. And his name's Jesus. And he's come and rescued us. He's come and set us free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, just like James mentioned in the worship. He's set us free from the law of sin and death. And there's no condemnation now to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're under him. But I still say this. Many of us do not exercise the authority we've been given. Me included. Why is this happening? Mike Bickle gives an illustration. Satan comes to your door. And he's got a box of snakes in it. And he says, there you are. What would you do? You'd say no, wouldn't you? You don't want a box of snakes? No, go away, I don't want them. In the name of Jesus, off you go. Only thing is, he doesn't knock at your door, because he's not polite. He just comes in. And it's not usually as obvious as a box of snakes. But he sends you things to depress you, to make you fearful, to make you anxious, to make you worry. That's what he does. You are to take authority and say, no, I'm not having that. Go in the name of Jesus. A lot of Christians say, God, would you send him away, please? And God says, I've given you authority. I've died on the cross. I've defeated death. I've defeated sin. I've given you authority to say, no, go in the name of Jesus. That's why we should pray for the sick. We should take authority over sickness. Now, sickness may not have specifically come from the enemy. It can come for other reasons. You know, your lifestyle, for instance. Or hereditary reasons. Or just the fact that creation has fallen and is groaning. And sickness comes for no reason whatsoever sometimes. But sometimes it's an enemy attack. And even if it comes for the other reasons, it's still because of the fall that it comes. It's still spiritual. There's a spiritual element to all sickness. The kingdom of God doesn't have any sickness in it. So we're to take authority and speak to the sickness and say, go in Jesus' name. That sounds simplistic. And you might think of instances where you've done that and the person's not recovered. But we're still to do it. Another story of Mike Bickle is he had a brother who was paralysed. He lived for 33 years. And paralysed. They prayed for him every day. Go in the name of Jesus. This paralysis. Go in the name of Jesus. Prayed for him every day for 33 years, but he died. And people said to Mike Bickle, how does that work? How does it work? He said, I don't know how it works, and I don't need to know how it works. All I know is we've been given authority to pray for the sick, and we're to do it till the day they die. And we're to say, sickness, go in the name of Jesus. Sometimes it goes, sometimes it doesn't. We don't know why it doesn't. But we're to do it. That's what we're to do as Christians. And at the end of this sermon, I'd like to do that. I'd like to say, if you've got anything wrong with you, let's command it to go in Jesus' name. See, Christians are too passive. They let things come into their lives and, oh, this has hit me. What am I going to do? Take authority. Speak against it in the name of Jesus. If you're depressed, why are you depressed? Might be a spiritual attack. rise up and say, go, depression, in the name of Jesus. You're still using Jesus' authority. It's like the police. Police puts his hand up to say, stop your car from going along here. Now, that man on his own doesn't have that authority, but he's got a police badge on. And behind that police badge is all his authority. So you stop. You stop because there's an authority behind it. And we can pray against depression and sickness because there's an authority behind us that Jesus has won. He's redeemed the authority we gave away. He's the second Adam. No wonder we worship him. He's worthy, isn't he? He's worthy to be worshipped. Great and mighty God that you are. When the devil offers something, of course, as he did to Jesus in these temptations, it's always a trap. He offers things to us now, doesn't he? Usually nicely packaged. Box of snakes would be obvious, but he packages it nicely. He says, why don't you do this? Why don't you watch this? Why don't you take some of this? Make you feel good. Packages it. It's always a trap. Leads to misery. Everything he offers leads to misery. He cannot offer you anything good. And so we take authority against him. We say, go in the name of Jesus. Sometimes he goes straight away. He'll come back again. He won't stop attacking you, by the way. He doesn't go forever. So we have to keep using the authority. Now, a key verse here is James chapter 4, verse 7, which has got three verbs in it. And we're just going to look at that. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Three verbs, submit, resist, flee. Who flees? Do we flee from the devil? No, he flees. When you do the first two, submit and resist. Don't be passive, in other words. Don't be passive. This has come into my life. Why has this come into my life? I don't know. I'm going to command it to go. So in the name of Jesus, depression, go out of my life. In the name of Jesus. I'm using his authority like the policeman is. It's not that I've got the authority. Originally, God's won that authority and given it back to us. Anxiety, you're anxious. Anxiety, go in the name of Jesus. Out of this person's life, go in the name of Jesus. Sometimes it doesn't go there and then, sometimes it's a process. Particularly with sickness, sometimes when you pray for sickness, they recover. If they're healed instantly, it's a miracle. If it's a healing, it could be recovery over a period of time. When it doesn't happen, we don't work it out. Small brain, big God. Me, small brain. God, big. Can't work it out. I don't know. But I do know he's given us authority and he says, pray for the sick. Pray against depression. Pray against anxiety. Pray against fear. Are you fearful? Cast out the fear in the name of Jesus. Fear? I'm not being passive, I'm being active. Go in the name of Jesus. So let's go back to James 4:7. Three verbs, submit, resist, flee. They're all in the present continuous tense. Submit and keep on submitting to God. Remember, the authority only works if you're in submission to God's leadership. So submit to him. How do you submit to him? We should be submitting all the time. Our characters should be changing as we follow Jesus, read about him, worship him. We're submitting. But also we submit to him in his plan. And his plan is, I've given you authority, use it. So we submit in that way. So submit to God and keep on submitting. Don't try and go on to step two without step one. First thing is submit to God. Secondly, resist the devil. Once? No. Present continuous. Resist and keep on resisting. Not because you say, I prayed against the devil and he's not gone. Well, keep on praying against the devil. Keep on resisting. And then he will flee from you, present continuous, and he'll keep on fleeing from you. So you come into God's presence, you submit to him, you resist the devil and say, I don't want this in my life. Be gone in the name of Jesus. And he flees from you. As I say, it might not be immediate, it might take a while. James Aladrin tells stories about dreams he has and visitations, and he'll say, go, and they don't go. Go in Jesus' name, and they don't go. I command you to go in Jesus' name, and then they go. You see, demons are frightened of Jesus. Remember the Gadarene and the Legion, the pigs, that story? What have you to do with Jesus? What have you come here for? Have you come to torment us? Go away. They're frightened of Jesus. So use the authority he's won back. Kath Johnson never came back in. I was going to ask her what she said last week. So when did Jesus defeat the power of the enemy? Well, power of the enemy had no claims on Jesus ever. Lost the battle in heaven. Thrown out of heaven. For 30 years when he came to earth, couldn't get Jesus to sin. For 40 days in the wilderness, he couldn't get Jesus to sin. At the end of the 40 days, the devil went away having exhausted all his resources. Couldn't win against Jesus. But he said, I'll come again at another season. When did he come again? In the garden. In the garden he comes again and tries to tempt Jesus. Don't go to the cross. Again he fails. Jesus goes to the cross. Dies on the cross. Is buried. And then he rises. Satan, who had the power of death, no longer has the power of death. Jesus rises from the dead. Death is defeated. At that moment, that's the final victory as far as we're concerned. Of course, the devil's got a nasty future, which we should remind him of every now and again. He's going into the lake of death. Don't forget where you're going, mate. So it says in Colossians 2, verse 15, this is Jesus, having disarmed principalities and powers. When? At the cross and at the resurrection. He disarmed principalities and powers. Not people on earth didn't realize what was going on, but those in the heavenlies knew. And they were disarmed. They had no armor anymore. Unless we give it back, give them permission. He disarmed principalities and powers. This is Colossians 2:15, great verse. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in his death and resurrection. That's our champion. That's Jesus. That's the man we love. That's the man we worship. That's the man we follow. That's the man who's worthy of it all. Worthy of it all. Is there anybody worthy to open the scroll? There was nobody worthy. And then there's one been found who's worthy. It's Jesus. It said in Hebrews, Satan had the power of death. But Jesus broke it when he rose again. He overcame death. We were singing about it, weren't we? Now the church must not surrender the authority back to Satan. The church mustn't do that. But we're passive. We're very often passive. And the enemy knows that and he thinks I'm going to attack them and they won't do anything. So he attacks us a lot. You get thoughts in your head and you think, why am I feeling so low? What's happened? I mean, we could find plenty of reasons why we could feel so low, couldn't we, if we look for them? Well, I've just been watching the news. No wonder I feel low. But sometimes we feel low and you don't know why. It's just an attack. Worship. Sometimes the attack's actually physical. Heidi Baker talks a lot about the orphanages in Mozambique that actually get attacked physically on their own double-decker buses, and they'll get burnt down, the double-decker buses. And she'll be away somewhere, and they'll ring her up and say, the bus has been burnt down, what should we do? She says, you know what to do, don't you? And they say, worship? She says, yeah, worship. That's not being passive. That's fighting back. We worship. If you feel depressed, start worshipping. Because he's worthy. He's better than what's going on in the news. He's better than what the world can bring you. He's better than Twitter. He's better than Facebook. He's better than Instagram. He's better than all of them. You listen to all that garbage and you'll finish up quite depressed and quite confused. Jesus is better, greater. Greater you, God. I like we sang that today to start off with. So we take our stand against the devil. We resist him. How do you resist him? Submit to God, resist him. With the word. Jesus answered with the word, didn't he? So you answer with the word. Say to him, it's written that you've been defeated. So go in the name of Jesus. The word of God says you were disarmed at Calvary. So off you go in the name of Jesus. Keep using the authority. The authority is in his name. I'm not having this illness in my family. I'm not having these attacks on my family. I'm going to rise up against them. I'm not going to be passive and let these attacks come. I'm going to speak against them. I'm going to declare, Satan, you've been defeated. You do not have the authority in my family. Go in the name of Jesus. Say it. Declare it. As I said at the beginning, many Christians are aware about this teaching, about authority, but they don't use it. And sometimes the circumstances don't change instantly. They give up. Don't give up. Present continuous. Keep on. Keep on submitting to God. Keep on resisting. And he will keep on fleeing. Don't give up. Demons must obey Jesus' authority. I'm going to move to the end of the sermon now. I'm going to leave out bits because I want to get on to praying for things. But just the last scripture I wanted to mention is in Ephesians 1. And it's a prayer. Our spiritual authority is based on our union with Jesus. God gave Jesus to the church as a gift. He's our head. We're his body. We are the vehicle through which he expresses his power. The head tells the body what to do, like it does in your case. That my head's now saying to me, take off your glasses. So my body will take off my glasses. So I can see you. And now it's saying, put them back on again because you want to read this. So my body is putting them back on. So Jesus is the head, we're the body. We need to do what he tells us. So the prayer in Ephesians 1 verse 17, the Father of glory may give to you revelation in the knowledge of him, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, which he, the Father, worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, far above all principality and power and every name that's named. He's put all things under Jesus' feet. Gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So there we have it. Jesus is power above all things. All things. Everything you see in the news, Jesus has got power over it. He's our head, we're the body. So that prayer there that Paul prays, he prays that the Ephesians will know the exceeding greatness of the power. And let's pray that for ourselves. Let's pray right now, just bow your heads. Lord, I pray that we here at Mount Chapel would know the exceeding greatness of your power. In our lives, in our families, in the spheres we move amongst, that we would know the exceeding greatness of your power. I pray we would not be passive when enemy attacks come, but we would submit to you and resist and say, go. I don't want that in my house. I don't want that in my family. In the name of Jesus, go. Amen. So where's Jesus now? Seated at the right hand of the Father, raised up. The Bible says we're raised up with him, together with him. And he's made us sit with him in heavenly places. We've been united with Christ in his death. So we're now joined with Jesus. Okay, I just want to finish with a prayer time. So as I said before, not everything that happens to you is an enemy attack. Some of it might be your own fault. Some of it you might have made bad decisions, and you may have started on a pathway of life that's no good for you. You can still ask God's strength for you to overcome that. I made a bad decision, and I've got myself trapped in this, and I pray for you to help me out of this in the name of Jesus. Even if you did that, because of the fallen earth, there's spiritual badness with it, and we can declare against it. So even if you don't want prayer for yourself today, for sickness, there might be somebody you want prayer for, who you feel is trapped in some way, let's bring them before God. It's only going to take a few minutes. 1 minute prayers, we don't have to pray for half an hour on things. 60 seconds, 90 seconds, that's enough. Just say it. So I'll tell you what we'll pray for just now. Sickness can come from the enemy, but even if it's through other things, ultimately it's because of the fall, so it's spiritual. We've got authority in that area. Feelings, feeling low, feeling anxious, feeling fearful, we can speak to those and say, go in the name of Jesus. If you have fear in the night, we can speak to that. Say, go now in the name of Jesus. If you wake up in the night fearful, say it then. Go now in the name of Jesus. Fear, go in the name of Jesus. Enemy attacks. Submit to God. Resist. Flee. And finally, if the news gets you down, well, don't live your life by the news. Live your life by the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, there's the news, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm not saying don't be informed. You can be informed if you want. But you know, you hear a lot more in today's society than people ever did in the past. Well, you knew what was going on in your town or your village. Now we know what's going on everywhere. And it's a lot to cope with without God. But we've got God. He's on our side. He's going to win. He's already won. We know how the book finishes. We know he's coming. So, anybody in the room want prayer for sickness for them? For yourself? Anybody? George, yeah. James, Maury, Ray, George, is that it? Harold. Okay, let's all pray. You don't have to say it out loud if you don't want. I'm going to pray out loud. But let's pray first of all for sickness in the room. Okay? So Father in heaven, we submit to you. We submit ourselves to you. You are the King of glory and you have all authority over all things. So we say to the sickness that's in this room, the pain or the illness or the sickness that's in this room, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. We command you to go, leave the bodies of the people in this room in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's a simple prayer, isn't it? It'll take even 60 seconds, I don't think. Now, if you want to pray, somebody you know who's ill. Anybody? You got anybody you know who's ill who needs prayer? Let's pray for them now. Okay. So, Father, we come before you again. We submit to you, King of glory, King of peace. We thank you that you're in our lives. And we bring before you these friends of ours, these people we know who are sick, and we ask and command the sickness to go in the name of Jesus Christ. We say, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave that person's body right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lastly, feelings. Any fear, any depression, any anxiety, I'd like to cast those out in the name of Jesus. So don't put your hand up for those. Well, you can do if you want. Yeah. Some hands have already gone up. So. Lord God Almighty, bring before you the people in this room who suffer with feelings, negative feelings, like feeling low, depressed, feeling anxious, feeling stressed, feeling fearful, feeling worried that you worry. Lord, we submit to you, King of glory, and we want to come against these. So we say to those feelings, those negative feelings, in the name of Jesus Christ, go. Leave this person. Leave their body. Leave their mind. Leave their spirit. Leave their emotions. Go in Jesus' name. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will continue to flee. So keep doing that in Jesus' name. And keep worshipping. Don't focus on negatives. Worship. Worship. The submit to God bit is the most important bit. Submit to God and worship. Amen.